Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists. Is Vinnie's jokes. And this is my first broadcast on Republic Broadcasting, like, ever. But I'm not new to American talk radio, ladies and gentlemen. It actually feels like a triumphant return, you know, a return to the planet of the apes. We have a problem here in my country, New Zealand. I call it my country, but it's really the what would you call it? The scumbaggery country? I don't know. It's owned and controlled by the British, and I know that the American listeners understand that that's not what you want to be doing, because ultimately, when you're dealing with scum and trash and things of that nature, of a what would you call it? You would call it a non-republic. You're calling it a Commonwealth country. And the problem is, with when it comes to Commonwealth, they mostly just commonly steal your wealth, hence the reason why the Americans shook off the yoke of their oppressors long ago, which we in New Zealand have yet to do. However, because of the fact that we do have, of course, the exact same scumbaggery type of people running the world right now, there is, of course, a need for us all to unite and fight against the common cause. So, yeah. Oh, man. Back on American radio. I love it. You know what I really love about it? The callers. I love my American listeners, man. You guys are so awesome. The number is 512-248-8252. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org and scroll down a little bit, and you'll be able to see the call-in numbers there for those. Again, there's an 800 number as well, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443 if you do want to call in and talk to the Vinnie man. So who is Vinnie? Well, basically, imagine for a moment that there's only one person in New Zealand who is like the ultimate man, and the kind of the Alex Jones of New Zealand. That's me. Been doing it for 15 years. Started on American Freedom Radio in 2010, and 2 years before that I was going around doing protests and public meetings and things of that nature around New Zealand. And the thing about it is, you find out after you listen to those people who get cut out and cut off at the knees at a 30-second soundbite that, hey, these people actually have a chronically large amount to say. I'm a listener-supported broadcast, so you can go to vinnieeastwood.com, and there are donation buttons there on the homepage for you to look at, as well as, of course, the donate page. You can donate through PayPal, KiwiBank, and Patreon. So really looking forward to everybody supporting the show and getting some merch as well to support my partner and our new baby, Rebecca. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Coming up on today's broadcast, do want to remind people that we do have sponsors, HoldenHealthcare.com, specialist in naturopathic oncology and hard to treat cases. So if you do guys have any problems with your health that you're having a difficulty dealing with, please go to HoldenHealthcare.com. Emphasis on the care. In New Zealand, we're also trying to reopen the place. That's why we've got reopen.nz as a sponsor that has a group of people all around the country who are desperately wanting to reopen this and end the mandate, be pro-choice, and be all-inclusive in New Zealand. Go to reopen.nz and add your freedom business today. We do have a couple of articles on the agenda today. First one by foreign agent Mark Dolder, who's reporting for the New Zealand media and has been for some time. New Zealand's hate speech laws explains. We'll be getting into that in just a moment after the first break. And also from News Punch, Jacinda Ardern partners with Bill Gates to roll out digital IDs. So Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you are all fantastically with us today, as well as those of you who are listening to KiwiRadio.nz, the wonderful little network run by Ralphie there. So, without, as they say in Israel, further ado, I would like to start getting into this first article before we get into the first break. So, Mark Dalder is a senior political reporter based in Wellington who covers COVID-19, climate change, energy, technology, and violent extremism. Namely, there isn't actually any violent extremism in New Zealand, so what they did is they rebranded anything that's non-violent as being violent, because the only violence that gets permitted in New Zealand is that of the government and the violation of New Zealanders' rights by the frickin' government. Now, let's start going into this. He says, no, the government is not planning to implement, quote, blasphemy laws. Newsroom's Mark Dalder explains the current hate speech laws and the proposal to change them. And I wanted to get people to understand the concept here is that when you've got information that the government doesn't want people to hear, they will do what governments do. They lie. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do all sorts of things to keep you down. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, you don't ever, ever, ever want a government in charge of speech. That's why you have the quote-unquote fourth estate, namely the media, to stand in the middle of them. Now, what happened very recently is that the government created a wonderful care package for the media and said, hey, here's millions and millions of dollars to cover what we want. And it's in the middle of the lockdowns and things like that, so they got no freaking people sponsoring them in any other way, shape, or form. So they're kind of like, oh, should we shut down our entire media apparatus, or should we just sell out to the government? That's basically the position the government put them in. Sell out to us, or we're going to shut you down. And of course, not a single one of the mainstream media outlets shut down. All right? Me and many other truth broadcasters in this country and, of course, around the world got shut down during those 2 years. I used to have 65,000 YouTube subscribers, 6,000 videos. Doesn't matter whether it was David Icke, G. Edward Griffin, or Mark Passio. You had pretty much everybody that coming on my show. And now all of those archives and records are gone. Okay? And now they're passing down hate speech laws and things of that nature to prevent you ever getting back up on your feet. So, yeah, thank you very much, America. I love your free speech mentality. Since the March 15th terror attack, and for those of you who are unfamiliar, it's when a Australian-born citizen who was reported to the police for his violent anti-Muslim rhetoric, who they did nothing about, wound up taking a bunch of guns and allegedly attacking a mosque and allegedly killing a whole bunch of people, and then allegedly managed to somehow rewrite the YouTube algorithm so that they could censor anybody trying to report the truth of that on the day that it happened. All right? And then the government convicts him on day one of the lockdowns when none of the reporters, the news journalists, are able to look into the situation or report on the case. And then number two, they sealed the government's investigation into themselves, into the incident, for 30 years so that nobody will ever know the truth. Kind of like how you never get to see all those stuff. You remember when they were going, oh man, Trump's going to declassify the JFK stuff and whatnot. Finally. Nope. Once they decide to seal it, that ain't ever going to get unsealed. All right. And that's the difficulty with the March 15th terrorist attack, which has resulted in what's called the Christchurch call to counter online extremism. Now, what did they classify as extremism? Anything the government doesn't want you to say, anything the government doesn't want you to think, that's extreme. Okay. When the government pledged a review of hate speech legislation, the issue has attracted more than its fair share of hyperbole and fear-mongering, probably from radio hosts such as myself. Hate speech is a complex issue at the best of times. No, 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 Mr. Dalder, it's not complex. You hate speech. That's what you do. You hate speech, and that's why you censor it. Trying to strike the fine balance between the right to freedom of expression and the rights of people to live their lives freely without facing threats on the basis of their immutable characteristics. Wait, hold on a second there. Are you saying that you need a balance between free speech? Look, I can say F you and go F yourself or something of that nature, and that's not hate speech. But if I say something along the lines of what the government really doesn't want me to say about their various forms of scumbaggery, that is definitely hate speech, and we're definitely going to throw you in a thing, you know. You can swear at people. That's protected under free speech laws. But you can't give people information that compromises the government and makes them out to be the bunch of liars that they are. The right to live without getting persecuted? That's not a right. Okay, rights are very, very simple. Do you have it? Yes, I do. Then nobody can take it away from you. Okay, that's the whole thing about violation of rights, is somebody is trying to take something that doesn't belong to them. Okay? Now, let's have a look at this. Have you got a home? Yeah, well, then nobody can trespass on that home, okay? Because that's yours. Nobody can take your right of your home away from you. Have you got, I don't know, somebody lying about you and maliciously trying to destroy your reputation, stuff like that? That's not a right, okay? Because that's violation, okay? That's where we get the term violence from the Latin volare, as Mark Passio would say. So you've got all these basic rights. You can't be hit, you can't be killed, you can't be threatened, you can't be lied viciously about, you can't be trespassed on your property. Rights like that, those are rights. You don't have the right to not get offended by somebody. What are you, a snowflake? Shush! Just shush! Stop listening, close your ears and stuff like that. Change a channel. What these people are attempting to do is take away people's choice to listen to who they want to. And let's continue on with the article. Overcooked hate speech regulation can chill legitimate speech. Really? You don't say, Mr. Dalder. But the absence of any prohibition on hate speech could allow intimidation and threats to chill the free expression of society's most vulnerable. Oh, the vulnerable people! Oh, these snowflakey little people out there with their gender fluid and their pink hair. Oh, no, we've got to protect them all. Don't protect anybody who's talking about truth and government corruption, though. No, because that's hate speech. That's hate speech, bro. While people may reasonably disagree on where the current law and the proposed changes to fit in within that balance, it's hard to have an informed debate without the details. This newsroom explainer lays out, he calls himself an explainer. Now, I saw a meme the other day at a business card manufacturer, and somebody from News Hub or Newsroom rather comes in and getting their business cards, and they're like, now considering you work for News Hub, do you want the word journalist in inverted commas? This newsroom explainer lays out the current state of the law, last year's proposed reforms, and the final version announced by Justice Minister Kerry Allen this weekend. The law. New Zealand has had hate speech laws on the books in one form or another for decades. The current iteration came into effect in 1993 when the Human Rights Act was passed. It creates civil remedies and criminal offences for, quote, inciting racial disharmony. And this is, of course, at the time when New Zealand started to relax its immigration laws and it started allowing in, I think it was about 50,000 immigrants a year. Now, let's just put that into perspective. 50,000 immigrants a year into a country at the time which had about 3.5 to 4 million people. Okay? And every year you get 50,000 people who weren't born here, don't speak the language largely. Okay? What's that in relation to the rest of the world? I don't know. Well, let's compare it to, say, Finland, where they have no hate crimes to really speak of. They allow 500 immigrants per year, and they have like 14 million people. Okay, you want hate speech to not happen? How about you don't flood a country with foreigners who don't understand the language, don't understand the culture, and basically completely identify with their home speech, all right? Like, for example, at the moment, if you're driving around in Auckland, which is the largest Pacifica population in the world, you will see Samoan flags everywhere you go! Everywhere you go! All right, people are dragging them around in their cars and things like that. There was apparently some kind of rugby competition that was happening recently between Samoa and Tonga. And so you saw lots of Tongan flags, lots of Samoan flags, and the Samoans must have won it because they're still freaking everywhere. I saw one truck driving around with both a Samoan and a Tongan flag, and I was just thinking, where does this guy fit in? But the concept to me is that, hey, I live in your country, but I don't care about it. I only care about my country that I left. Okay? That's kind of what those flags waving around in my face every time I'm driving around really say to me. And frankly, I'm offended. You know? Am I inciting racial disharmony? I don't know. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's down to nationality. You can't be racist against somebody because of the country they're from. It has to be their actual race. And as far as I'm concerned, there is only one race. It's the human race. And we're all brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters fight. They do. If found guilty of the criminal offence, a person can be imprisoned for up to 3 months or made to pay a fine of up to $7,000. Okay, so let's think about this. You can be fined a huge amount of money just because somebody feels offended. All right? Now, as Steve Hughes would say, okay, well, can I ring up these people and go, hey, it's me again. Yeah, I'm offended by these people being offended at such and such and blah, blah, blah. No, you can't, because it has nothing to do with free speech, protecting people, or anything of that nature. It has to do with mind control, okay? In the old German fashion of the word. If you are a mind control subject, you're not allowed to say what you think. You have to do what you're told. And why is that a very frightening thing? Well, I'm glad you asked. Essentially, it's because of the whole Orwellian type concept of doublethink, where eventually, if you're not allowed to say, excusez-moi, if you're not allowed to say what you think, eventually you will stop being able to think about it at all. That's the grand difficulty that we are dealing with at the moment, is that speech and thought in and of itself has become so dangerous to the snowflake establishment that they now need to destroy it in order to ensure that your brain cannot even think about the enemy that it's facing. Isn't that a terrifying concept? We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the one, the only best broadcaster from New Zealand, the best that the Commonwealth has to offer. Okay, now, we are trying to work out, of course, a few technical issues on the side, because when you're on radio, you can play music and things of that nature, but when you're trying to broadcast across various platforms like Twitch and YouTube and Facebook, etc., as I am, that can be a little bit difficult. So this is our first show on the network, and we're going to work out a few things. I may have to send in some different non-copyrighted songs next time. Anyway, today is what it is. So hopefully everybody can just chill and and just deal with it. All right, now, coming back to it, in order to have breached the law, this is talking about the New Zealand hate speech laws, and the reason why New Zealand hate speech laws or anything that happens in New Zealand might be actually important for the world to be familiar with is because we're a little Western cult-like test nation. Okay, so if you look at what happens here, you can be guaranteed that soon it will be happening there. If you're listening in from the UK right now, or the United States, or Canada, or Australia, or whatever Western nation, they can and they will test things in New Zealand and get away with it. And if they do get away with it here, then they import it elsewhere. This is how the New World Order works. Now, so, in order to have breached the law, a person has to have published, broadcast, or said in public words which are threatening, abusive, or insulting. Now, I'm not sure if that applies again to the government, because almost everything that they say is threatening, abusive, or insulting. That are, quote, likely to excite hostility or ill will against or bring into contempt or ridicule any group of people based on their skin color, race, ethnicity, or national origin while intending to do so. See, this is the thing. It all comes down to all of these things that you can't really change anything about. Now, that means that you can insult people based upon their beliefs, for example, how the government is demonizing anybody who's a quote-unquote anti-vaxxer, or a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist, or a quote-unquote freedom fighter, you know, that kind of thing. That's fine! You can insult us all the livelong day! You can abuse us for being white, heterosexual males, right? That's absolutely fine, but if you do it against any other race or any other nationality or something like that, what we're trying to massively import into our country so that it dilutes your sense of nationality so that nobody's really speaking the same language. So if you go out and you try to campaign in English, you're going to be in trouble because only about 12% of people will know what the hell you're talking about. You know, like those kind of things can be a little bit frustrating, especially because of the hypocrisy involved. Police must receive the permission of the Attorney General to prosecute someone for hate speech, which isn't usually required for other offences. That aside, the threshold in the law is pretty low bar, and legal decisions have continually interpreted the provisions more narrowly. The Attorney General, I believe we've come up against the Attorney General in court a number of times. And you know what they do? They protect the corrupt. They do. I've seen it happen a number of times when we've had high-level corrupt politicians being represented and being protected by the Attorney General's office. For example, in 1985, when a predecessor to the current provisions was in effect, an Australian in New Zealand launched a civil case over a column mocking Australians in the aftermath of the underarm bowling incident. The Equal Opportunities Tribunal decided the mere act of insulting behaviour likely to lead to a ridicule of a group wasn't enough to violate the provision. The word takes flavour and meaning from the surrounding words, and on that basis, ridicule means more than just ragging, chaffing, or robust badinage. In our view, it connotes belittling and denigrating in circumstances where the humorous aspect takes second place, the tribunal found. So, that's back then. You could make jokes and things of that nature, but it's starting to become a little bit more risky to do so. Given this consistent narrowing of the application of the law, there has only been one successful prosecution for inciting racial disharmony in the 29 years the Human Rights Act has been in effect. That came last year when Tauranga man Richard Jacobs posted a YouTube video calling for genocide and a race war against Māori. Because the existing hate speech provisions only protect people on the basis of race, ethnicity, skin colour, and national origin, there's a wide range of threatening behaviour which remains legal if directed against vulnerable groups rather than individuals. For example, what they think and what they believe. All right? because hate speech has to be against somebody for things that are outside of their control. Were you born this race? Yes, I was. Okay, well, you can't insult people about that, otherwise you get a $7,000 fine. All right, now, it seems awfully nice, doesn't it? That nobody's allowed to be racist. What happens when you do that? It all just goes underground, doesn't it? And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with a little bit more after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Continue on with the article, and thank you very much for Republic Broadcasting and for KiwiRadio.co.nz for hosting this broadcast. Because hate speech is such an important thing nowadays, right? Because keeping the truth from people or that kind of thing is just sort of like being blanketed by this. Oh, it's hate speech. It's hate speech. They're just definition. And the beautiful thing about it is you can just change the definitions of anything you want to whatever you want it to be. That's how the government ostensibly works, at least in this country. A classic case is the 2017 incident involving Auckland pastor Logan Robertson. Police were unable to charge Robertson with any offence after he was said he was not against gay people getting married as long as a bullet goes through their head the moment they kiss, because it wasn't a specified threat against a specific individual. So what Dulder is trying to do here is sort of lay out sort of all these loopholes where hate-speaking people, you know, might be able to slip through, and how we want to close that noose and close that gap around them and stuff like that so that nobody could ever be offended ever again. Does that sound reasonable? No, it sounds freaking insane. Alright, so the first reform proposal in June last year, the then Justice Minister Chris Farfoy announced the results of a 2-year review of hate speech laws launched after the Christchurch attack. See, this is the great thing about false flag terrorism, just in general, is it gives you the justification to do all those things that you never thought were possible before. Called the Christchurch call, and the Prime Minister's been seen talking to the United Nations and so on and so forth about how great it is to censor everybody's free speech and throw people in jail for 14 or 28 years respectively for sharing a documentary that somebody else made in another country about Christchurch, which is illegal to discuss under pain of 14 years in prison for so much as sharing any of the footage or discussing, without approval of the government's narrative, the attack itself. The review, by the way, you're also talking to the only person in the world who was a truther, who actually went to Christchurch and asked the hard questions. I interviewed the president of the mosque, for crying out loud. The review also took into account the findings of the Royal Commission into the terror attack, which recommended the government move the hate speech offences into the Crimes Act, clarifying the threshold from the current definition and make sure that religious groups are also protected. So that means that if your religion has a concept that really, really, really hates anybody speaking free speech or being white or so on and so forth, you can't be insulted, you can't be threatened, you can't even be challenge, because that's hate speech. Well, what a great way to allow Sharia law in New Zealand. The reforms Farfoy announced mostly followed those recommendations. The recommendations, of course, of the Royal Commission, who sealed for 30 years their own investigation into the government and the attacks themselves. You see how that works? Protections against inciting disharmony would be expanded not just to religious groups but to other grounds, which receives protection under other provision of the Human Rights Act, like disability, age, sex, and so on. Inciting disharmony would be moved into the Crimes Act, with the punishment raised to 3 years in prison and a $50,000 fine. You're trying to make people less harmonious. That's a $50,000 fine and 3 years in prison. He tried to make things less harmonious. All right, don't you think like going to prison or having a $50,000 fine for speaking is actually promoting disharmony? Don't you think? don't you think a live and let live type of thing? Because at the moment, it's already illegal to threaten somebody or to hurt somebody or something like that. You don't even need to call it a hate crime. It's just a crime. Why are they specifying hate crime? Why? Well, because basically it's going to allow a beautiful dragnet to destroy free speech just in general. The legal threshold will prohibit communications which are, quote, threatening, abusive, or insulting, made with an intent to, quote, stir up, maintain, or normalize hatred, raising the bar from mere ridicule or ill will. Lawyer Graham Edgler described the changes as decriminalizing some forms of hate speech that currently violate the law. Everything that might fall under the ill will and hostility categories, for example, would be decriminalized, but not communications that meet the hatred threshold. So I can discriminate, I just can't hate. And how do you know the difference? All right, because all of this stuff is completely subjective, isn't it? Kind of like offense. You know, I took offense to something, it's completely subjective, I decided that I needed to take offense to it, etc., etc. On Saturday, the new Justice Minister, Kerry Allen, announced the government's final hate speech proposal, our final solution, after Farfoy's reforms were met with significant backlash. This will see the current provisions extended to cover religious belief. The same high bar as in the current law will be in place, so mere insults or disagreement with a faith won't be prohibited. Well, thank goodness for that. You know, all the rest of Farfoy's reforms will be referred to the Law Commission for a further review. These issues are complicated, and the review will ensure any further changes to the incitement provisions meet society's expectations and needs, Allen said on Saturday. Who determines what society's expectations and needs are, considering they don't actually do any polling and they don't allow any participation of anybody in the parliamentary process once they've been elected, because New Zealand is a sovereign parliamentary dictatorship? Who does that? Nobody? Okay. So they're just making it up. Yes. Welcome to New Zealand. As demonstrated many times previously, such as with abortion law, the Law Commission is well equipped to take on a complex and sensitive issue and carefully consider how the laws should be shaped in response to it. Allen expects the limited reform to pass through Parliament before the election. It will be subject to a full select committee process. Now, at the bottom of these articles, and this is quite interesting because it only happened in the last couple of years. Now, you can donate to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/donate.html, and also you can donate to the mainstream media. All right, the mainstream media is so desperate for viewers and so desperate for funding that they need donations in order to continue. Did you think you'd really ever see that happening? No, I don't think you would. And what kind of people would be donating to the mainstream media? Oh my God, they're brainwashing me and they need help! Somebody stabbed me in the face with a garden fork. Jacinda Ardern partners with Bill Gates to roll out digital ID. So this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a new world order. It doesn't matter which country you're in. The same things apply. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has partnered with Bill Gates. Hey, interestingly, this article has 666 shares, the old 666. Didn't see that coming. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has partnered with Bill Gates to surreptitiously roll out digital IDs across the country. And this is, of course, after she gave Bill Gates, the data cloud infrastructure. And they're building giant freaking facilities here for Microsoft in order to control all that stuff. Now, how does New Zealand fit in to this? The country's managed isolation and quarantine MIQ government program that during the pandemic operated by keeping records manually is now switching to JNCTN produced software tools, which will serve as digital ID verification for the MIQ staff, otherwise known as the thin end of the wedge. Going forward, the quarantine program employees will have their certification, clearances, training, etc. tracked in this way, appropriate to the environment they are in. So what they do is they do this little thing first. It's only a little thing. And that little thing just grows and grows and grows until eventually it takes over the whole freaking nation. you know. The importance of the move to a digital ID wallet is particularly pronounced since MiQ was one of the key components in New Zealand's rigid and often radical manner of dealing with COVID. COVID to you. Not only that, but the approach to the problem reflected in a massive operation during the pandemic that involved more than 14,000 people and 650 organizations in running MIQ facilities, or MIQFs, which is also a porn reference, I believe. Anyway, the government agency behind MIQ, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, MBIE, was in charge of making sure that MIQ border workers compiled at all times, and now, once again, convenience is being mentioned as a key reason to switch to digital IDs. See, look, being a slave is real easy. Being free is so hard, okay? Wouldn't you... Look, you've got so much to worry about when you're free. Wouldn't you just rather be a slave? That way you've only got one thing to worry about. The fact that you're a slave. Reportedly, those workers had to go through a manual routine of proving their ID and health status, which is said to have been repetitive and time-consuming. Enter the digital wallet. It depends on Microsoft Azure cloud service and is provided by JNCTN, which says it is a leading SaaS platform allowing for real-time credential insurance and management. The contactless tool it provides is said to have been tested by MIQ Security and is already, quote, significantly reducing the time needed to comply with entry and exit rules for workers in said facilities. Kind of like how a microchip in your hand would make it so much easier to get in and out of your house instead of having to use those pesky keys. All right. What was it David Icke said at the conference one hour? Why does everything have to be quicker, quicker, quicker? Just chill. Money saving is cited as one top benefit of all this, but only as a prediction. The deployment of JNCTN is supposed to save the New Zealand government $6 million a year by cutting down on time and resources. The MIQ deal is just an addition to JNCTN Wallet's government clients portfolio, which could soon include job seekers. So, with that being said, it's important to realize that these kind of measures that are being taken, it doesn't matter what's being put into your water, putting into your airwaves, or being put into your wallet, it all comes out of this wonderful system called Agenda 21. All right? Agenda 21. That's everywhere, all the time. In all ways, everything will be controlled. That's essentially the dictionary translation. So what we're talking about here is a modern bridge between a globalist authority and local authority. So this means that you are going to have a foreign representative running your town, your state, and your country, because they said so, not because they were elected, but because the technology that is already in and the measures controlling your speech and so on and so forth are already so tightly controlled that it would be impossible for anybody to really challenge the regime. And I say the word regime optimally, all right? Well, I'm not sure if that's the right word there. Anyway, I would like to address people's real concerns about this. So here's the thing. Have you been to a local city council meeting lately, guys? You haven't, have you? I haven't either. And you know why that's a bad thing? Because all these things get pushed through week after week, year after year, month after month, whatever. And we're not there to tell them, no, don't you dare. That is something that Dr. Rima Labo told me. It's a very, very important concept, is the words, don't you dare. Why is that important? Well, principally because if you aren't telling people that, they are going to just get away with any old thing they want. They can polywolly doodle all day, all right, if you're not there to stand in their way And this is the concept behind resistance, is that it is eternal. Okay? It's called eternal vigilance. You must be vigilant. Otherwise, these people are going to come in, they're going to duck under the radar, and they're going to come and surreptitiously destroy your culture and thus your country as a whole. You shouldn't allow that kind of thing. You shouldn't allow yourself to sit at home doing nothing while there's some kind of council meeting going on. And I'm starting to think to myself, you know, I've really got to get my stuff together. I've got to get out there. I've got to start doing all this. And you don't want to do it alone, though, do you? So I want to get some of the groups of the freedom community that my partner Rebecca's really started here in New Zealand, the freedom parties and so on and so forth, and go, hey guys, why don't we just take a few beers and go to the local council meeting and get all rowdy and get in their face and prevent them from passing tremendously large amounts of Agenda 21 related legislation in through the legislature. You know, wouldn't that be a good idea? Wouldn't that be a fun night out? I think it might be, but as Rosa Corey told me, or at least in her book, Behind the Green Mask, that when you're going out there, don't sit in the same group, okay? You have one of you in the back corner, one of you in the front left corner, and so on and so forth. Spread yourselves well out. So that way, when one of you gets up and says something that the councillors do not want to hear, what you can do is just say your piece, and then when they try to interrupt you, you have somebody else in the corner of the room who appears to be completely unrelated standing up and saying, no, I don't think you're listening to this gentleman. I want to hear what he has to say. And then the councillors go, no, I'm sorry, this gentleman's time is up. And then another person in the other corner of the room stands up and says, no, I want to hear what he has to say too. And before you know it, you've got them. Okay, and they can't get away with anything. What's a brilliant concept, Rosa, God rest her soul. And it should be employed damn near everywhere, I think. It sounds like a very, very good idea. So, yeah, bro. Oh, man. And you'll have to forgive my yawning and whatnot, guys. I've recently sworn off coffee. You know, I don't know if anybody else has ever been through this. But got kind of like liver issues, mostly from stress. I got arrested for protesting the lockdowns on August 18th last year. And on December 16th this year, we're finally going to be wrapping up my case. And I've been living under bail conditions that I can't encourage people to breach the COVID-19 rules for 6 weeks. For the first 6 weeks, when we went into court five times to challenge the bail conditions, I was under the bail conditions that I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't use the internet. I couldn't possess a mobile phone. All right? I had to be bail checked almost every day. Cops turning up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, just at random times to check to see that I was still home and was complying with the thing. That was a stressful time. And now we're dealing with a huge bill that's due for all of the lawyers' fees and things like that. And of course, it's not even wrapped up yet. So by the time the 16th rolls around and everything's all done and dusted and wrapped up and et cetera, et cetera, then I'm going to have to pay this enormous freaking bill. And I don't know how to pay it because I got deplatformed. So the ability to ask for help and stuff like that has been greatly diminished. And so I was largely hoping that New Zealanders and Americans and whoever around the world supports the cause of freedom would give me a hand by lending their platforms and having me on and interviewing me and so on and so forth, because it's also a very important issue for free speech, freedom of gathering, and so on and so forth. And in terms of people who are established, who actually have proper shows and things like that here in New Zealand and established followings, not one came to my aid. Not one. That hurts. a hell of a lot, man, that your own people can just leave you out in the cold and go like, ha ha, sweet, the competition's gone, now it's our time to hose in. All right? Now, we had a few people with, little live streams and things like that, like DKspiracy, and I think some foreigners as well, like James Corbett, who gave me a ring and lent what support they can. But in terms of all the established people in New Zealand with proper followings and things like that, actual shows that they're doing and have been around for years, etc. No. It's just like, yeah, that was cold, bro. That was just absolutely cold. And so now I'm back on American radio, where I feel like I belong. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, there isn't a whole lot of freedom left in God's own New Zealand. And thank goodness the United States still exists in some form where we can have real freedom of speech and real radio networks and hopefully real callers as well. I would like to see if anybody can call in 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And the other number is, of course, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 if you do want to call into the show. But of course, this being the first broadcast, not sure we'll have too many people listening or wanting to call in, but that's okay. Tanya in the chat room says, it's very heartbreaking, Vinny. You've do so much for our freedom. Yep, I mean, I've literally done more than everybody else combined. All right. If you get all the freedom broadcasters in New Zealand together and you stack up how many videos have they made, how many hours have they done, how many guests have they done and stuff like that, and you put them all together, I'm still like 20 times bigger than all of them, you know, in terms of the past workload. But of course, you wouldn't be able to tell that because all of my stuff got censored and deleted and all that knowledge and all those people who gave all that knowledge for free away on this show, a lot of them are dead now. So I can't get them back on exactly. I mean, the best thing I can do is just give them a little bit of a mention here or there to make sure that their memory lives on through us and that their wisdom doesn't die with them. That was the real difficulty, ladies and gentlemen, is to see this world and its people not being valued for their contributions appropriately. You know what I'm saying? You do know exactly what I'm saying, don't you? And I'm very, very grateful to you. So speaking of gratitude, I just do want to remind people again that this is a listener-supported broadcast. If you could set up an automatic payment for giving $2 a month or $5 a week or something of that nature, that would be absolutely fantastic. And you can also subscribe to us on Patreon to support my band. We are going into the studio to record real music very soon, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, about an hour after the show, I'll be going to the studio to do that as well. So please support the band Vinny and the Vendettas on Patreon. That's all available on the donate page at vinnyeastwood.com. Not to mention our sponsors, holdenhealthcare.com, emphasis on the care. David Holden's been helping me out. He's a naturopathic oncologist specialist in hard to treat cases, and he's treating me because I'm such a hard case. And in addition to that, a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Hey, Vincent, is reopen.nz.
Vincent, we got 1 minute and we got a caller. Did you want to take him?
Yeah, let's take that caller for 60 seconds. You got, all right, go ahead, caller. You got one Chris, thing to say.
You got to say his name, Chris in Tennessee.
Chris in Tennessee, you are on the air. Go right ahead. You've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, what a welcome surprise. I've been wondering where you've been. I've missed that Aussie accent and the humor.
Well, you know,
It's good to hear you on RBN. It's good to hear you here in the States, I tell you that much, because I hadn't heard from you in a while, and I've just go back and I'll listen to some old archives with you and the Greek, and I will just, when I need to get some laughter in, oh, man, it's invaluable.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your call, man. That's a great way to leave off today's show, brother. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com or simply VinnieEastwood.com for short. Chris, thank you so much for that call, bro. Just managed to squeeze in there, didn't you, brother?
You're welcome, man. Glad to hear you're on the air. I'm glad. Good deal.
Love you, brother. Thanks. See you, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is Monday, 11 a.m. New Zealand Standard Time. We'll see you again.